Have you ever thought about long-term care? MKN Financial Group provides long-term care planning and insurance that can be custom designed to cover expenses as you grow older. Long-term care can take place in the comfort of your own home, in adult daycare centers, and at assisted living or skilled facilities. With so many options to choose, Marcy Nunn can help you design a plan that is tailored for you. Call her today at 805-644-3535. That's 805-644-3535. The word mindfulness is everywhere today, and for good reason. In our frantic 24/7 world, managing stress is a necessity, and mindfulness helps you be both highly effective and at ease all day long. Andre Walzer has given hundreds of people in the 805 science-based mindfulness tools to downregulate the stress response through her Learn Mindfulness Meditation courses. Register now for September classes in Westlake or in Camarillo and learn to stress less. Visit the mindfulness page at LearnMindfulMeditationWithAudrey.com. That's LearnMindfulMeditationWithAudrey.com.
To the Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for the Brighter Side of Recovery on the Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. And Tracy, so glad you're here with us.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Yeah. This is a lot of fun.
Isn't it? I love it. All right. Well, we have a great, another great afternoon for you. I do want to remind you of our shows from 6 to 8 every Saturday. And, of course, this show right now is from 2 to 3. And I do want to remind everyone that, one, we talk about anything that you are waking up from. And then, of course, this is sponsored by Soba Recovery Center. Also, I do want to tell everybody that we've got some really great guests. And, of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Sherry Gatewood just walked in.
Hello. I'm a little bit late, but I am here.
Well, that's okay. I'm so glad you are.
Yes.
And we've got a really great show for you today. And, of course, I do want to remind everybody again that our phone number here is 419-0008. That is where we love to give back. And let me tell you some of the giveaways that we have. And we've got over at the Elite Theater, we've got Lion in Winter, and we've got tickets to that. And we've also got Winona Judd and the Big Noise Christmas, Craig Ferguson, and those are over at the Civic Arts Plaza. We've got Rubicon, My Fair Lady, and we've got the Theater League, and that is ELF. And so let's give away a couple tickets to the ELF right now and start off with that at 805-419-0008. Our first guest is Michelle Neff Hernandez, and I'm really excited. We've talked to her years ago. We have lots of friends in common, and of course, she's put together this amazing, now international, Soaring Spirits. And Michelle, are you there?
I am. I'm so excited to be back. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. And wow, if I ever wanted to see something grow, it's like a good but a bad, you know.
Right.
But oh my God, you've done an amazing job. And so tell everybody a little bit about what is Soaring Spirits International.
Soaring Spirits International provides peer support communities for widowed men and women around the world. So We do work in all 50 states, and our programs are accessed in 153 different countries. So really our purpose is to help widowed people rebuild their lives. It's not so much about the fact that someone in their life has died, because by the time people come to us, that has already unfortunately happened. But what we do is we help them rebuild their lives and find a way to really live with purpose and to honor their loved one by creating another great life.
You know, Michelle, when, you know, in the last couple months, I've had a lot of friends, their spouses have passed away. And you're one of the first things that comes to my mind. I'm like, I got to put you in touch with Soaring Spirits, you know, one because of Barbara, because of you. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many things about how big it's grown. And can you share your story?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, today would have been my late husband's 50th birthday. So this is a perfect day to be talking about Soaring Spirits and about what we do. He was 39, just about to turn 40 when he went out for a bike ride in August of 2005, and he was hit from behind by a driver and was killed within about an hour. He died within an hour of the accident. So I was 35 years old, and I had three stepkids and three of my own kids, and I had no idea where to even begin with widowed life. And, you know, the only people I knew who were widowed were relatives who had been widowed a long time, and they just weren't raising kids and, you know, living the daily life that I was living. And so really wanted to find other widowed people and know that I was not the only one who was raising kids.
It's kind of like looking for a support team, correct?
It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, at a time when you're least able, you know, to sort of rally your resources, and when you're least able to think clearly, you know, your whole world has been turned upside down. And it doesn't really matter whether that happened immediately, as it did for me, or if it happened, you know, after a long illness, because really until your person is actually dead, the process of, you know, being widowed and living a widowed life, it can't start until that point. And so a lot of times people will say, well, you know, that was an expected death. But really, even right up until the last second, you know, your good friend Barbara is one of the ones who made this most clear to me when she said, after her husband battled ALS for many, many years, she said, you know, you just don't think it's going to be this minute.
Hi, like, Michelle.
We still have one more minute.
Oh, sorry, Michelle. This is Sherry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No worries. Hi.
You know, we're all about recovery on this show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And I'm just wondering, you know, I kind of have experienced this firsthand from people that I know, family members, et cetera. Sometimes alcoholism increases when somebody dies, when a spouse dies. And so I'm just wondering can speak to that.
Well, here's the problem is that a lot of times if people don't find support and healthy avenues through which they can process their feelings, they turn to all kinds of, you know, different coping mechanisms that are not necessarily healthy. And that, you know, of course, includes the potential for abusing alcohol. It also includes, you know,
pills.
Severe
I think the elderly,
pills,
you know, thinking in
benzene,
terms.
You know, I mean, just there's a lot of it. And really, what it is that you have this hole in you, and people will try to fill it with all kinds of things because it's really difficult to face those.
Yeah,
feelings.
I mean, it's really common. You know, Sherry just lost her dad, and your mom, right?
Yeah, my mom is, you know, making some choices and things that are not particularly, you know, in her best interest, you know, without mm-hmm. breaking any kind of anonymity. But I, you know, I think that often what we see, and I've been talking to other kids that have lost their parents, they get into these relationships, these love addiction. You know, you think it's, oh, I just need a companion, I'm alone and I'm empty. But really, it turns into being a whole other kind of addiction, like a love addiction to fill that empty hole. Because losing
absolutely.
A spouse is the same, it's an emptiness, it's a hole. And unless they fill it up with you know, they think that another person might have to fill it up. That's not necessarily the case. I mean, there's other things they can be doing. They can, like you said, they can be going to support groups, they can get some counseling. There's probably all kinds of activities out there, which I guess you're involved with when it comes to widows.
Now, is that something, Michelle, that you talk about at the Soaring Spirits International?
We do, and here's the thing. You know, the hardest part about it is that the hole that exists in your life is the same shape and size as the person who has died, and you can't fill that hole. That's the truth. You have to learn to live with it. And, you know, what you end up doing is needing to fill your own life with other positive things and become and allow yourself to feel what you feel, and then also to be able to understand that no one's going to fill that hole.
I love how you say that it won't be the same. I think of step families, like when step families get married, when they're small kids and they join mm-hmm. families and they become a blended family, they always talk about we want to be the same as a real family, and it isn't. So I like when you say it'll never be the same, you know.
Well, Michelle, let me ask you this. So it's almost, it seems like maybe the first step is, you know, the widowed person has to have some acceptance of where they're at. And, like, what kind of steps do you give them?
I'd tell you, actually, I'd say the first step is that they have to be able to feel their feelings. I think that's the very first step. And I think that for us, what we do as an organization is offer communities where people are able to process their feelings, where they're able to say, you know what, today is a really bad day for whatever reason. You know, it could be as simple as I walked into Starbucks and there was a person who looked just like my late person.
And it just threw
me for a loop.
Yeah, you know? And doesn't that, it's almost like, you know, you become pregnant and all of a sudden everybody's pregnant.
Yeah.
Is that absolutely. Kind of the same feeling that sometimes happens?
It's really kind of just that you don't know from which direction something may cause severe
trigger. It's really
person.
A trigger, isn't it?
It is a trigger, and they're called triggers, you know, and you can't predict when they might be, and sometimes, you know, and that's, as we go forward, you know, we learn what they are, and so then we're a little bit less surprised by them, but you can never predict what they'll be. You know, as an example, about a year ago, one of my stepkids, and I was holding his baby, and I was thinking, you know, like, how would I ever have been able to predict that holding Phil's grandchild, you know, would cause an avalanche? You know, so it's just, you don't know what they are, and you don't know, and it will always be, because here's the thing, he's always going to be dead. And so, and I'm never going to be happy about the fact that he's dead. So I'm always going to have some kind of, you know, feelings here, there, and everywhere. About
everybody. And
him.
You know, And Michelle, I love that we're bringing this on our show, because it's real. Everybody feels it, you know, if you go through a divorce, if you go through a death, if you go through an illness, it's all stuff that we have to recover. We have to recover, and time is the only thing that just keeps making it easier and easier and easier.
And there can be a new kind of joy. You know, we talk about the brighter side of recovery. There's that period, you know, you go through the steps of grieving, and then eventually after acceptance, like Tracy was talking about, then there's joy.
No question.
There could be a new kind of joy, not the same joy.
Right.
Well, and I would just say, too, that, you know, that I'm always careful about how I talk about the stages of grieving as people, you know, lay them out now, because it's an endless cycle. So, you know, you come to accept that they're not coming home. That's one level of acceptance. Then you have to come to accept that your life's never going to be the same again. That's another level of acceptance. Then you have to come to accept there's not one acceptance. It's just an over and over again. You walk through the steps, and over again, you rediscover. I think that the powerful part of recovery is rediscovering who you are without this person in your life.
And I think support for the families, because, you know, not just the spouses, but the kids. I mean, I guess that's what you're involved in, too, because I didn't just lose my dad. I'm in some ways losing
lost
my
your
mother.
Family.
Well,
yeah.
My full
yeah.
family will never be the same, and my mother's not the same. She's a different person.
Yeah.
So, Michelle, what are the resources that you make available to people who would come to you?
So we do a number of different things, but to be clear, our focus really is on the widowed person. So all the only support we provide is for widowed people. But what we do is offer an opportunity. So one of the largest groups of people who come to us for support for widowed people are the children of widowed people. So they come to us and say, recently one person said to me, you know, my dad's just, he used to be so busy and had such a full life, and now all he does is sit and look at pictures. But it had only been 6 weeks. It had been 6 weeks. And so we try to help people kind of frame how long it takes for someone to really adjust to a massive shift in their life. And you're right, the whole family, you know, is experiencing this loss. I'm so sorry to hear about the death of your dad.
Thank you.
A death for you, you know, your own loss of your dad, and then, of course, the changes for your mom, and the changes in your family, and the changes in your holidays, and the changes in your birthday.
Oh, yeah, none of us will be together for Thanksgiving. It's just so weird.
Yeah.
Right.
Michelle, right. We need to take a really quick break. Will you stay on when we come back? Can you talk about the holiday hope tips?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by SOBA. And you know, I do want to say I'm Kim. I'm here with Sherry Gaba, Tracy, Tom, and our phone number here is 419-0008. And I would love to give away, let's see, how about some Rubicon My Fair Lady? That's going all the way to November 15th. And I've got tickets for you. Call in right now, 419-0008. And we'll be right back.
Surfaces USA is your natural stone and tile superstore. Come browse the largest selection of natural stone, glass, porcelain, ceramic, and composite tile and slabs. Choose your kitchen or bath countertops from our rich selection of unique and exotic granite, marble, and onyx slabs. Ask about our installation project management and free design consultation services. Call us today and mention the Kim Pagano Show and get 10% off your order. 805-604-1568. That's 805-604-1568. Or visit us online at surfacesusa.com. Conveniently located at 380 South Lombard Street in Oxnard. Surfaces USA. We'll help you make your dream home a reality. Rubicon Theater Company is Ventura County's premier stage company. Join the Kim Pagano Show at the next main stage performance of the legendary Lerner and Lowe classic, My Fair Lady, playing October 21st through November 15th in Ventura's downtown cultural district. Described as the perfect musical, the magnificent score includes Wouldn't It Be Lovely, I Could Have Danced All Night, and I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face. See this production as only Rubicon can do it in the company's intimate 180-seat theater. Tickets are going fast. To purchase tickets, visit www.rubicontheater.org or call 805-667-2900. That's 805-667-2900. Don't miss out on your chance to experience the next production of innovative professional theatrical productions, festivals, special events, and education programs at the Rubicon Theater.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally,
on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here. And I do want to remind you of our morning show, 6 to 8, where we talk about the brighter side of life. And of course, we're talking about the brighter side of recovery right here. And recovery to us is many things, anything that you are waking up to in life. And again, there's so many things. And we're talking with Michelle Neff Hernandez right now. We're talking about Soaring Spirits International, and really resources for widowed people, men, women, children. And you know, when your life changes in any way possible, Michelle, you've put together this amazing resource, and we thank you so much for that. Tell us a little bit about your holiday hope tips.
Well, one of the challenging things for anybody who's facing the loss of a loved one is that our holiday, you know, sort of the background of our holidays changes. And sometimes for people, it changes significantly. And one thing that we do is starting on October 31st, we start with a Halloween holiday because it's a family-oriented holiday, and we go all the way until January 1st. We provide a holiday coping tip for every single day. And the idea of this is to help people who are grieving be able to look at their holidays one little bit at a time instead of taking the whole package and saying, oh, my whole holidays are ruined. Life is, you know, I'm never going to enjoy this again. We help to really just focus on, okay, for this year, how can we get through these holidays? You know, how can we find ways to be grateful? How can we find ways to make ourselves, you know, feel supported through the holidays? So there are small tips. They are located on our Facebook page, and we provide one every day all the way until January 1st.
So what would be, you know, give us just one tip or two tips that we can look at.
Well, I'll give you today's, which is one of my favorites, and it's simply gather. Gather the things around you that fill your soul, whether that's friends, whether that's family members, whether that's candles, whether that's the opportunity to make phone calls to people you love. Gather things around you that fill you up, because that will help you to emotionally manage, you know, the days ahead that will be taxing.
I love that.
It's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorite fall ones. We always post it with a nice fall leaf picture.
Right.
But I'll tell you a very practical one, which I also really love. I'm going to give you two, if that's okay.
Please. You can give me three, and that
one
would be okay.
Okay, good. The second one is that you to plan an escape route. So let's say you're going to a family holiday party, and you're worried that you're going to just lose it and start crying in the middle of the party.
Mm.
You walk in, and you identify where your escape route is. You can go out and have a minute to collect yourself if you need it, and then be able to come back in. So I tell people, walk in. So in, rather than having this like emotional feeling, you know, come over you where you feel like, oh my gosh, I just need a minute. And then you're looking around like, where do I go?
Right.
You've identified it when you come in, and you give yourself an opportunity to step out, even if you just need a breather, and then come back in and be able to manage for the rest of the time.
You know, so, in recovery, sometimes they talk about people that are in recovery, it's a selfish program. And so in my opinion, when you're a new widow, let's make it a selfish program. Do what makes you happy. I hate to use the word selfish, but it really is.
Well,
I want to say
self-loving.
That's good.
Self-loving program. Because it's not that you're being selfish. You're trying to love yourself enough to be strong enough for you, the rest of your family, for to be able to, you know, really, you know, be able to face the world.
And to be able to honor your feelings.
Yeah, that's. I was just going to say, Michelle, the common thing I'm hearing is, you know, being able to say to yourself, I have these feelings, and that's okay.
And you have to let them be, and you have to let them happen.
But at the same time, kind of having those tools to maybe manage them or help yourself cope with them, but not denying them.
And calling it the new normal. You know, I think one of the things that's the hardest thing about death or addiction is like, God, we're so different. We're so different. We're not normal. And you know what? What is normal? There is no normal.
Yeah,
so
no.
This is the new normal for you.
I just heard this on, you know, I don't even know, one of the talk shows or something, and they were saying that, you know, we all used to say that, you know, we were a dysfunctional family. And I think there's more dysfunctional now than, you know, normal, because there isn't a normal. I mean, it's, you know, we have so much stress in our life in every avenue, and instead of trying to be that, you know, stand up tall and don't let anybody in, why not be authentic and really know that I'm having a really tough day today?
And people want to be able to relate to that. You want to be able to share with others what's going on in your life.
You know? Yeah, and along those lines, Sherry, Michelle, you know, what advice do you have for those family members or for those people who care for that, you know, widowed person? Like, what can they do to help? I'm sure, probably speaking from experience, you probably had people that came to you that were helpful and others that, you know, weren't. What's your advice there?
You segued perfectly into my other holiday tip.
Yeah.
I have three really practical ways you can help. First of all, for the holiday season, if you know a widowed person who has young children, take those children to help them buy a gift for their parents.
That's a great tip. Yeah,
it makes such a difference, because you know what happens is on Christmas morning,
or on the
holiday, Hanukkah, you end up handing out your gift to the kids, and the kids look at you like, oh, we didn't get a chance to get you anything.
Oh, you just brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, and you know it's just something single parents go through all the time.
Yeah. I did.
Single parents go through that, and so it really and just for the offer, you know, and it can be the dollar store. It doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
It's the opportunity for the children to express
their gifts and love
to their parents. So that's one. Secondly, really to be very practical about what you do to offer help, one great thing is to drop a gift card in the mail to a local place where they could take out dinner. So that when they come home one day and just can't face cooking.
Right.
But they have the opportunity to do it. It doesn't come with, you know, a pan.
Or one of those meals that come to the house.
Right.
You know, those new companies now that have meals that come to the house.
Yeah.
So you just give them the opportunity to be able to, at some point in the future when they're going to need it, you know, because a lot of times people are surrounded with great support. You know, there's both stories. There's the someone who doesn't really have great support. Then there's the other person who maybe they had meals delivered for, you know, 3 months or something. That's great. But eventually, 6 months, even a year later,
right,
you're still working to put your life together and to be able to pull that gift card out. And all it takes is a note that says, I'm thinking about you, I'd like to buy you dinner, here's a card. And then they can use it whenever. So that's a really practical way. And my last thing to say is that it's really easy to be overwhelmed by the fact that you can't fix this. Like, there's no button to push, there's no pill to take, there's not an easy way to deal with this. And so anyone who's grieving a loss of any kind, if you're able to just be with them and allow them to be where they are, that's the biggest gift you can give them. Mm. Not giving them any, I need you to do this, or I think you should do that, or, you know, just, I'm going to sit with you. Would you like someone to sit with you? I'd be happy to do that. Or, you know, continue to call and offer to take them to coffee now and again.
Right.
Continue to call and say that you care, but don't ask anything of them or expect them to be different than they are right in that moment.
I want to make a little detour if we have time. The financial piece, when someone passes away, and let's say the person that passed away handled all the finances and the other one is just kind of sitting there going,
that's a great
what do
question.
I do? Because that's, you know, again, I'm very up close and personal to that situation. What resources do you have to help those families kind of navigate through that whole financial maze?
So our purpose really is to create these peer communities. And so what they do is they end up helping each other. They suggest to each other, this is what helped me. This is another thing that helped me. We also offer what we call Camp Widow, which is a weekend-long program. It's a cross between a conference and a retreat, and it offers about 60-ish to workshops throughout the weekend, and many of those are financially based to help people kind of get there. And, you know, that again, they're everything from financial to how to help with your kids to, you know, thinking about wellness, to looking at whether meditation might be helpful to you. I mean, it runs the gamut. We try to provide really a holistic look at what kind of, a widow person.
Do you break up these peer groups and ages? Like someone that's 75, 80 is going to not have the same things in common as someone 40 or 30.
Right. We don't break people up by age. Instead, we break them up by experience. So if you are a person who lost your loved one to suicide, you would have the opportunity to meet other people who are in that circumstance. If you lost your loved one after a long battle with an illness or even a short battle with an illness, but you were a caretaker, you have an opportunity to meet people in that regard. And then the next day, so the whole first day is about, you know, helping people get connected. The second day is about what topics interest you. So whether you're 80 or you're 20, you might have need of information about finances, and so that would be an opportunity for you.
Michelle, if one of our listeners, and when I refer so many people to you, what is the first thing when they call there, what do they get?
And what's the number they can reach you at, or website?
Yeah.
So the website is joinspirit.org.
Join Spirit?
Soaring.
Soaring Spirits. Soaringspirits.org. And the phone number is 877-671-4071.
And when they call,
what they can expect is to be connected with a community. That's really what we do. And the opportunity within that is that you meet people who are surviving this, you meet people who are thriving through this, you meet people who are in the same space as you, you meet people who are further ahead and further behind, and you meet people who every day are also missing the person they love.
I love
and
it.
And they're finding their way through that. So,
Michelle, let me end, because we're at the end. Where are you in your life now? I want to just share that there is hope at the end of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been married for 5 years to an amazing man who participates in our work and who provides lots of little people with hope that, you know, in their future, there could be a possibility for a whole different kind of life. Not the one that you planned, but one that you get get the opportunity to live with joy.
Nice to hear.
Yeah, very good. Michelle Neff, always an amazing time talking to you. Michelle Neff Hernandez, thank you so much for being a guest here on The Brighter Side of Recovery.
Thank you. It was wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Talk to you soon. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Michelle Rosenthal and Your Life After Trauma. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that. Again, our phone number here is 419-0008. I'd love to give away some Rubio Fresh Mexican Grill gift certificates. Call in right now at 805-419-0008. And I do want to remind everybody of our 6 to 8 show. And, of course, it's all about the brighter side of life. And then also make sure you get one of our newsletters. You'll find out about all of our guests. And if there's something out there that you need our help that we can point you in the right direction, definitely give us a call. Or you can always email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When it comes to traditions, Somas Nuthouse comes to mind. Nuts, candies, trail mix, dried fruit, and gift baskets are affordable for all your needs. Also perfect for your corporate clients. Available online and can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. at www.somasnuthouse.com. Somas Nuthouse is a landmark in Ventura County and was founded by Stephen Resnick and his parents. Grandma Resnick is now 100 years young, and she continues to provide input to grandchildren, Rebecca and Jeremy, as they carry on this family tradition at Somas Nuthouse, located at 4475 Los Angeles Avenue, right off the 118 in Somas. Call Somas Nuthouse at 1-800-266-NUTS. That's 1-800-266-NUTS. That's right. Everyone needs nuts in their life. Mission Oaks Cafe is a favorite destination for all Camarillo natives. Every plate is made with the highest of quality, using fresh ingredients from local farms, enriching your dining experience. Reserve a spot at one of their elegant wine pairing nights, where Chef Joseph Sharp is able to show off his talents of fine cuisine in a four-course meal paired with four fantastic wines from a local winery. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, and for breakfast through dinner on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Full bar open later. Call 805-482-1022 to make a reservation. That's 805-482-1022. Visit them online at www.missionoakscafe.com for their full menu and upcoming events.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally,
on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. We were just talking about how amazing that organization is, Soaring Spirits International, and knowing the background of it and how many people it's really helped. I'm telling you, if you know of somebody or if you are going through you know, something yourself, reach out and really just be a part of the community.
And
that's,
you know,
what it's all about.
I think, Kim, it's an example of turning lemons into lemonade. I mean, in other words, there's just a lot of sadness and pain in this world for many people. And she basically, this woman took, you know, Michelle took this opportunity of her own grief and put it into something positive. You know, it kind of reminds me of people that have missing children, then they become missing children advocates. I mean, everybody, and addicts, alcoholics, anybody that out there that has gone through something, you can take that. There's no reason why you can't take that and turn it into something positive.
I totally agree. I do want to do a giveaway, and I feel like we should do some ribs over at Famous Dave's. And the phone number here is 805-419-0008. We'd love to get all of your calls in, and all you have to do is leave us your name and your number, and one of the team members will get back with you. Our next guest, Michelle Rosenthal, and her book, Your Life After Trauma, Powerful Practices to Reclaim Your Identity. And this is a book that will really provides all of us a roadmap for going forward. And let's welcome Michelle Rosenthal. Michelle, are you there?
I am. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for inviting me to be with you today.
You got it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and is this your first book?
No, that is, in the chronology of things, the second book in a trilogy of books about trauma, survival, and recovery from post-traumatic stress disorder and the experience of trauma.
Mm.
So the first book was my personal story, a memoir of how I survived a life-threatening illness and how it just decimated me as a person, and then how I rose back up from the ashes of that. And then the next book, Your Life After Trauma, is all about such a pivotal point in recovery, which is the idea and the concept of identity.
Hmm, I love that.
Yeah, so I noticed that you are a PTSD recovery specialist. So when you say that, are you talking about alcohol and drug recovery? Or I'm just curious, because I see that you've worked at Timberline Knowles, and I know that program. This is Sherry, and I'm affiliated with Sober Recovery Center. And so I'm just wondering, is that what you specifically work with? Is that what the book is about?
Well, you know, PTSD applies to all kinds of people, people with addiction and people without addiction.
Right.
And so I work with both.
And you're a life coach or a psychotherapist?
I'm a coach. I came out of my own PTSD recovery. I struggled with PTSD undiagnosed for 24 years. And during that time, I just literally thought I was crazy. And when I finally received my diagnosis and realized, wow, you know, it's not me. There is a real problem here, and there's treatment for this. I can overcome this. I went on what I affectionately call a healing rampage. I was just determined, no matter how hard it was, to get it done. And it took quite some time. But when I came out of my recovery and I looked back and I thought, you know, what did I really need to know? What helped me so that I could offer that information to other people so they could heal faster than I did? And one of the things that I realized was talking and talk therapy and cognitive behavior therapy, those are all important steps, but they don't actually teach you how to live after trauma and be trauma-free.
Hmm.
Coaching does that, because
right.
Coaching is so created in the present, looking towards the future, whereas therapy is more about the past. And so I decided to become trained as a coach because that's where I
so
wanted to
Michelle,
focus.
So, Michelle, will you share with our listeners what was your trauma?
Oh, sure. When I was 13 in 1981, so everyone who's furiously doing the math right now, I'm 47, almost 48. And when I was 13, a doctor made a mistake and prescribed a medication that I was allergic to. And the allergy turned into this life-threatening illness called toxic epidermal necrolysis syndrome,
hey.
Which essentially turned me into a full-body burn victim. And
oh,
later,
that's isn't
was,
that the Steve Johnson disorder?
Well, Stevens-Johnson disorder is when this allergic reaction, which creates blisters, you know, you start with a rash and then you progress to blisters. Stevens-Johson is when it just affects 30% or less of your body.
Oh.
Toxic epidermal necrolysis syndrome is like Stevens-Johson syndrome on
steroids.
On speed.
Gee, I didn't even know about that. Wow.
Right.
So
right.
What was your symptoms right off the bat?
Right off the bat, I had migraine headaches. My eyes were very sensitive to light. I had a rash, and I didn't feel good. And of course, my parents immediately took me to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, she has a virus, no problem. Just take her home and let her sleep. And my mom said, well, do you think it's related to this medication that she's taking? Because I had an infection, and so I was on an antibiotic, and it's the antibiotic that caused the problem. And they said, no, don't be such a Jewish mother. She's going to be fine. And, you know, a week later, we were back in the office, and there were blisters breaking out on my lips. The rash was everywhere. I hadn't slept in days because I was so itchy. And my parents had been taking me to all kinds of doctors, and nobody had ever seen what was happening to me. Today, I'm
how
so
scary.
Impressed that you know Stevens-Johson syndrome, because in 1981, those words never came up.
Well, that's certainly a trauma. You know, I really do appreciate that you're a life coach and that you coach people through trauma. I think that's, you're right. I mean, coaching is in the now and in the future. But I do also think many therapists like myself, we're goal-oriented as well. And one of the goals, if someone's trying to, you know, get through a trauma episode, therapists can also work really well with trauma. I just need to just add that.
Absolutely. And I hope I didn't offend you by my perspective. In my first book, I detail my therapy and how much it helped me. When I look back, though, and that was purely what I was talking about, when I looked back, I found that telling my story over and over, and this may be because I didn't have a good therapist, but the concept of telling the story over and over was not helpful.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, it's in your body, and then there are certain there's certain types of modalities, there's certain types of programs like EMDR, somatic experiencing, and I suppose, you know, there's more than that that can help with trauma. And I think that a therapist, a life coach, even a Reiki practitioner could probably work with these body symptoms.
You know, Michelle, it's interesting. I am super sensitive to medication. And so I could relate to this because I had pneumonia and a doctor had looked it up. I'm really allergic to penicillin. So he'd said, okay, I've looked through every medication. I think this one's going to be okay for you.
Was it sulfur drug by any chance?
No. It's Avalox. Anyways, so he's like, okay, just take one of these right when you go home. So I went home. Thank God my husband was there, but I was like, okay, you know how weird I am about, and I'm like a freak, and I'm sure, Michelle, you probably are too, is I'm like, okay, I'm taking this medication. My husband's like, honey, God, stop. It's fine. The doctor looked it up. Everything's good. I took it. Within not even 5 minutes, my throat closed.
Oh, my
God. And he had to call 911, and we live a little further out, and they didn't think they were going to get me to the hospital, and they made a U-turn in the middle because one hospital was too close or too full, and so they had to take me to another one. And you know, that's a scary thing when you trust, you know, obviously a doctor, but they're just prescribing you medicine by a book, and you know, and knowing what's right for your body and what's not. And I was in the hospital for probably a week. You know, and that is terrifying. So I hear what you're saying.
So
I think you're so right. We just don't know, and I think that's why so often as patients we have to really advocate for ourselves, listen to what the doctor says, and then I go drive my pharmacist crazy looking it up again from five different ways. So I resonate with what you're saying.
Yeah.
So Michelle, you know, obviously we kind of talked about, you know, finding yourself and your identity after a trauma. How important is to have an idea of who you are prior to in order to sort of evolve after the fact?
Great question.
I think, bottom line, irrelevant. Because there are so many trauma survivors who are traumatized before they have a chance to really develop an identity. You know, myself included, at 13, you have no clue who you are, what you stand for, what your priorities or values are. And I think there are so many ways for us to reclaim a sense of identity, even if we didn't have one before. Certainly, you know, I've spoken to survivors of my same illness who were adults, and they had a much easier time afterward. But so it can make it easier, I'm sure. But I like to really focus on we don't need to have known exactly who we were before. We can recreate a sense of self, whether we had one before or not. And I write about that extensively in Your Life After Trauma. There are actually two tracks in that book. One if you knew who you were before, and one if you are starting from ground zero.
And I guess to sort of follow on to that question, I mean, is sort of a key step to that not associating your identity with the trauma itself?
Well, I think that's definitely true for both sides, whether you have an identity before or not. I think one of the biggest problems as survivors who get stuck after trauma is we do identify and define ourselves so much by the traumatic experience, and we get so stuck in that place of, well, this was my life before and this is my life after, this is who I was before and this is who I am now. And I think we forget that every experience that we have changes who we are, good experiences and bad ones. And it's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking, well, the trauma changed me and this is who I am forever now.
You know,
and really, identity evolves constantly.
I love this idea that you've taken on identity and trauma because, you know, one of the things that happens, like, let's say you have an early trauma, early developmental trauma when you're really young, or you have parents that were neglectful, or whatever your early trauma is, you actually, you know, you learn to disassociate, you have all these defense mechanisms, and then you lose parts of yourselves that you never got to actually allow the world to see. So what's really exciting, I think, about your work, and I've never really looked at it this way, is you're allowing people to reclaim their lost selves.
You're
right. And sometimes I have heard from survivors saying there's nothing to reclaim. And in that case, I would say recreate, you know, or create for the first time. Because I've worked with people who were traumatized by the birth process. So I've worked with people who they never from day one had a sense of a life without trauma. And what I see is equal to those who had a life way before trauma. Is there's always a way to change the identity concept. And so much of that has to do with how we choose to create or recreate who it is we decide to be in. And frankly, somebody asked me the other day, I was speaking at a conference, and they said, well, do you think there's a gift to trauma survival and the struggle that you had to overcome PTSD? And I definitely think the gift, not that we would ever want to have it
no.
this way.
Well, that's like you hear people that have had cancer, that they're a whole different person, and, you know, and they appreciate life. Michelle, will you stay with us? We need to take a really quick break, but when we come back, if you could give us some tips and things that you did to really recreate who you are, or find your inner self of identifying who you really are.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery, and we're so glad that you're here. Our phone number here is 419-0008. 419-0008. I'd love to give some Adams Family tickets away, and that's going all the way till December 6th. And our phone number here is, again, 805-419-0008. I want to hear from everybody out there. All you have to do is leave us your name and your number, and we would love to hear from you. And then one of our members will get back with us, one of our team members. Also, if you have a business or an event that you would like to spread the word on our show, we'd love to hear from you. So call us. We'll be right back.
The word mindfulness is everywhere today, and for good reason. In our frantic 24/7 world, managing stress is a necessity, and mindfulness helps you be both highly effective and at ease all day long. Audrey Walzer has given hundreds of people in the 805 science-based mindfulness tools to downregulate the stress response through her Learn Mindfulness Meditation courses. Register now for September classes in Westlake or in Camarillo and learn to stress less. Visit the mindfulness page at LearnMindfulMeditationWithAudrey.com. That's LearnMindfulMeditationWithAudrey.com. Biodental Healing is not your ordinary dental office. We believe in a different approach to dentistry. Holistic Dentistry. Holistic Dentistry aims to help you enhance the overall health of your mind, body, and spirit through the power of alternative dental care. Experience our VIP touch, including removal of dangerous mercury fillings with extreme safe protective protocols. We even match your body with the ideal filling materials personalized for you. Located just off the 101 in Newberry Park. Schedule an appointment today with Dr. David Villarreal. Call 805-375-2233. That's 805-375-2233.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Bring them to someone.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Kim. And Sherry's here, Sherry Gaba.
Yeah, and I love, you know, this conversation we're having. I mean, this kind of brought up the approach, and I want to get back to the trauma and identity piece that you're talking about. But, you know, it really is a shame that you went that long without someone referring you to someone that really specialized in trauma. You know, this happens all the time. You know, I'll meet people that never had an addiction specialist or didn't have a trauma specialist. And you know, it really, it hurts the field, you know.
It absolutely does, and I was thinking about our earlier conversation during the break as well, and I was thinking, you know, I should have qualified my comment before I explained it by saying, you know, this was my experience. There are so many fantastic clinicians, and I spent 8 years with a therapist who never mentioned the word post-traumatic stress disorder to me, and when I took the concept to him, because I'd taken a PTSD self-test, and I said, what do you think about this? Is this what my problem is? And I kid you not, he said to me, what is PTSD?
Yeah, well, you are the right person, yeah.
Well, and Kim said, you know, we're more sensitive because I'm a therapist.
It's really, yeah, and it's really prevalent right now. I mean, they have done so many studies on it, you know, from addiction to trauma to our veterans coming home. Their PTSD is so prevalent, and I love that it's so prevalent because, you know, anybody that has gone through that knows how hard it is to live with that. And I you know, I just want to, for any of my listeners that are just tuning in, it's really, it's a picture, and Sherry, you could probably even say this better, what PTSD is.
Well, it's a dissociative place where you have the fight-flight response. Something happens in your life, like I talked about earlier, it could be tsunami, earthquake, fire, neglectful parents, divorce, loss. You have a fight-flight response, and basically you can't, you know, if you don't fight and you don't flee, you freeze. And so the freeze state is the trauma. And so what Michelle's doing and what I do is to help sort of unfreeze them and learn how to be in the moment, because you're disassociated from the moment when you're a trauma survivor.
And actually, even as our last guest, Michelle, which I think I'm collecting Michelle's.
You are. Today's the Michelle day.
I know, isn't that funny? But she was talking about, you know, losing a loved one, and, you know, of course, it's the holidays right now, and if you are walking into a family function or a party or a place and you want to identify your exit, it's kind of like, I don't know why, but it makes me kind of think of that too, as you know, looking for a way to, you know, walk through something.
Michelle, I kind of like your concept here that, you know, trauma can take on, you know, a variety of different shapes and forms. You know, it can be, you know, any kind of just really negative life experience, and I think that's important for people to understand. That, you know, it's not always something really
big,
excruciating.
Like, yeah, you think you have to be a war veteran.
Right. I mean, I think that's really important for people to understand. It was maybe a first step in sort of acknowledging or accepting that maybe there's something there that needs to be dealt with.
That's a great point, Tracy, because so many people will come in and say, well, my childhood wasn't that bad. And then you find out they were verbally abused or the parents were fighting all the time, but they think because they weren't beat, there wasn't a trauma. Well, there's a huge trauma when parents are fighting all the time.
And trauma is on lots of different levels.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So Michelle, what we wanted to come back to you is give us, you know, some tips on really trying to identify yourself after going through some trauma.
I think one of the most important things to do is reclaim a sense of what it means that it feels good or even just okay to be alive. Because so much of us, in our experience as survivors, so many of us get sort of hemmed in that place where we don't believe we deserve to survive, or we don't believe we deserve to have a good life after that, or we are so numb because it's easier to cope with feelings of post-traumatic stress that we just decide I'm not going to feel anything, and that will be better than feeling the intense and overwhelming emotions. In any of those scenarios, we get very disconnected from our inner core of who we are, and also from what it means to feel good to be alive. And so I think that's always the first thing that I ask my clients to look for. What tiny little 30 seconds can you find in a day that it just feels okay to be alive, or it even feels good to be alive? And for some of my clients, I worked with a woman in California. That experience for her was riding on her Harley on the back roads of California.
Wow.
I have another client in Florida.
What I think you're actually saying, Michelle, is gratitude, right? To be grateful for one 30-second thought, and then you keep moving into a bigger one and another one and another one. Is that correct?
Well, I think that's true. Sometimes I think the leap to gratitude is too big from ground zero. And so I sort of like to think about it in terms of titrating it up so that you're just looking for 30 seconds where it feels okay to be here.
And it makes it so much easier. It makes it more digestible, because sometimes when people say, just be grateful, it's like, like I've been, you know, but it is true. Gratitude is the greatest way to change your perspective. But sometimes it just reminds me of like, oh, just talk to the hand. I mean, like sometimes they're
Well, when I say that, what I'm saying is look at the things in your life that we have to be grateful about. You know, I mean, when there's a bad day or, something that's, I was like, oh, God, could you take this black cloud out from over me, is you have to just start really going, okay, so I drove here. I got here fine. Okay, I have food in my, and you kind of go through your life and you start inventorying.
And it'll change, the whole way you're changing the vibration. Like our good friend Melody Beatty will talk about change, waking up in the morning and saying, okay, what am I not grateful for? But how has this actually been turned around and become a blessing?
I love it.
Can I segue really quickly on that thought? It's not a straight line process, Michelle, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure you go forwards, and then you probably go backwards.
Just like grief.
And then you go right. So, what tips do you have for helping people realize that process and get through that?
I have actually, that's a great question, and I have a completely different perspective on that. I don't actually think we ever go backwards. I think we're always moving forward, and what can happen is we have a feeling that reminds us of when we were backwards.
Ooh, a trigger.
Well, feelings aren't facts.
Every time we have a success, big or little, in recovery, even if that means I just held this ground for 3 days and I haven't moved back or forward, I'm just here. I think everything that we do moves us forward. So then you're right.
I love that.
A trigger can happen.
I love that.
And we can feel like we're back where we were when we were 4 steps ago.
I love it.
But we haven't actually moved back there. We're just feeling like.
Right. Very good. Michelle, we're at the end of our interview. Where do we find your book?
Oh, you can find it in every major bookstore and also online and at the book's website, yourlifeaftertraumabook.com, where you can also pick up some of the free resources that come along to help you.
Well, I love your work, Michelle.
Yeah,
thank you
so much.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, and thank you so much for sharing your journey with us here on the Kim Pagano Show. We are at the end of our show. I want to thank you all for being here. And, of course, we're going to end it with a moment of happiness. Life is your mirror. What you see as your outside always comes from your inside. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And definitely, find all of our stuff so you can stay connected with us. Have a really great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you later.